If you are just switching on the radio, you're very welcome indeed. And that devastating news coming through yesterday about Bombardier cutting a further 490 jobs from its operation here in Northern Ireland. The Canadian aircraft manufacturer employs about 4,000 people across several locations in this part of the world. So it's quite a swathe of jobs that now look like as if they are going. I want to speak to Susan Fitzgerald, who's from the Unite Union. Susan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's the morning after the night before, people waking up to this and discussing it again. Is there anything that really can be done, Susan?
Well, that's certainly what we're going to turn our focus and attention to, Frank, because actually we don't have the option to do nothing here to just manage more redundancies in Northern Ireland. This is the second year running that this workforce have gone into Christmas with an uncertain future ahead of them. That's not just them as individuals, it's their families, the wider community and the Northern Ireland economy. So the idea of us sitting on our hands while 500 plus jobs, because the figure of 490 we think will be exceeded, significantly exceeded. The idea of sitting as a society and doing nothing about that is not really an option for anyone, least of all workers at Bombardier.
Bombardier obviously are there to make money. They're not there to provide employment for workers in East Belfast or anywhere else around the world. Their main onus is to run a successful company and to sell these jets. And they want to try to sell them cheaper in the face of competition. And the way they can save money is to employ only the people they absolutely need. And the suggestion being that they don't need these 450-odd people?
Well, we don't accept that, to be honest. They do need a skills base. They do need a workforce that's committed, that's motivated, and they're going the right way about challenging those very ideas now. The reality is that as a society, do we just base ourselves on business interests? Do we just base ourselves on meeting the insatiable greed of shareholders and the profiteering that this company is engaged in again and again? Or do we look at what's best for society? Do we look at jobs that people can rely on? Do we base ourselves on what's best for working people going forward? The reality is that this company have come back time and again for cuts. In the last 4 years, we've seen 1,800 jobs go out of Northern Ireland. They said they needed to do that to streamline, to be more fit, to be leaner. We think that process will never end if it's unchecked. Because are Bombardier looking longer term to not be in Northern Ireland? I don't think anyone feels secure about their long-term commitments to stay here, despite the long-term legacy, despite the incredible commitment and loyalty that has been shown by this workforce over a long, long period of time. So we don't have the option just to say, oh, it's market forces. Oh, well, it's their company. They're entitled to try and squeeze more profit by having less people doing the same amount of work. So, to be honest, Unite's position is that we can't tolerate this proposal. It will be devastating for working people, their families, and for the Northern Ireland economy. So, actually, we're going to have to see more of a challenge coming from political leaders now here. We're not holding our breath. But they are going to have to try and challenge this mantra of meeting shareholders' expectations at the expense of working communities.
You paint a picture, Susan, of Bombardier owing us something, or owing the workers who have given so much something. Bombardier has handsomely paid workers for decades now in Belfast. Bombardier has been one of the linchpins of the economy in Belfast. Should we not be speaking in terms of respect for Bombardier as opposed to using terms like corporate greed?
I'll speak in incredibly respectful tones about Bombardier if they give a commitment to the workforce who has helped create the profits that they're starting to enjoy, the turnaround in the situation, which they're not completely out of the woods, but they're seeing improvements. The reality is that Bombardier has benefited from taxpayers' money here in Northern Ireland. They've benefited from investment and other support, and they should be made to come good on honouring what that represents, a commitment by the taxpayer here, by the Northern Ireland economy. And the reality is that they should honour that in the form of Why not commit to Northern Ireland? Why not commit to decent paying jobs? Why not commit to apprenticeships? Are we supposed to say, listen, thanks very much for everything you've done. Good luck now. We don't have a problem with this. No reasonable person would take that approach. So Unite are now engaging in a broader campaign. The job cuts announced yesterday are part of a global plan to cut 5,000 jobs from Canada to Germany to Derby to Northern Ireland. So our only response to that is a global trade union response. And what we're saying is, you are making money, you are making profits, why do you have to squeeze people even further? Are they going to do less work in Belfast? Or are they going to try and make people do really the same amount of work but on far fewer shoulders? So we are taking a hard line on this, Frank, because it's important. The impact that further job losses at Bombardier would have on the economy here is very substantial. So people who are not Bombardier workers need to sit up and take notice of what's happening. And obviously there's a reasonable and justifiable expectation on their members that we'll do everything in our power to stop this.
Do you think there's a possibility that Bombardier look around the world and they look in on Northern Ireland and they see a country that's in some form of crisis? It's a country that doesn't even know how to govern itself. They would hardly know which politician to speak to if there was an issue in Northern Ireland. And that reflects very poorly on us globally, as you say. Do politicians have to take some responsibility here?
I don't like to put myself inside the mind of the Bombardier, but I'd say they look around the world, including Northern Ireland, and they see where they can get their work turned out cheapest. It's not a good approach. I'm sure they do look at the situation here, and their members look at the situation here, that when they're facing into a crisis, which is what this is for almost 500 families at this stage, and we think it'll be more. And they look and they think that they've been absolutely let down by the political establishment because they're doing nothing for them. They've nothing to offer them. So I think that is a factor for workers. I don't think we can say that Bombardier have made the decision on that basis, though, to be honest.
So the workers look at the politicians and they look at Stormont and they see that empty house and they think to themselves, who is looking out for us?
Yeah, well, you'd have to feel spectacularly let down by the fact that there's no political establishment ready to step in and defend you. So the reality is that people may feel let down, but I don't think they feel hugely surprised. In a situation like this, the only reliable organisations to assist workers are their own organisations, i.e. the trade unions. So this is a very difficult time for Bombardier workers and their families and the broader community. So our focus, Frank, as I said, is to try and see what we can do to prevent this. We have to, in the discussions with the company, but also in our broader campaigning efforts, we have to be committed to fighting for every job, and we are.
Do you realistically think, I know you're a great supporter of the trade union movement, and you're obviously a high-ranking person within your own trade union, but do you really think Bombardier give a hoot about trade unions, really?
No, the point is that workers organise themselves to be a formidable force within a workplace, and then the company has to take notice of that organised working class. I don't think Bombardier, I think if they took it away when I have a union, maybe they'd be open to that. I'm sure they would. The reality is, we showed last year what we could do. When this company were facing a phenomenal challenge from Boeing, from the Trump administration, it was the campaign and efforts of the organised workers in Bombardier, supported by other trade unions globally, who were the most tenacious campaigners, the most tenacious fighters. It was the trade union effort that forced Theresa May to engage in the discussions that she did engage in. Had we not campaigned and fought the way we did, we don't believe that there would have been the efforts at political level to intervene and try and deal with that situation. So that shows that when we're threatened, we can organise, we can mobilise. There's never a guarantee of success. The only guarantee you have is if we do nothing, this will just go ahead unchecked. So we're meeting with our members, we're meeting with global union colleagues, and we're going to try and find a way of fighting this. We were fighting in anyhow against the relentless outsourcing that Bombardier have engaged in over the last number of years, and which they say they're not finished with. So when they talk about a figure of 490 jobs, the fine print tells a bigger story, because those 490 jobs are exclusive of other jobs that may go, jobs of workers who are on agency contracts, contractors, and also other workers in areas that the company clearly have their sights set on outsourcing. Don't forget, it's not that long ago that the pipe and shop in Belfast, they were told, it's gone. It's going to be gone. We've sold this function to a company in France. You're gone. Now, obviously, there's discussions about redeployment on that there, but this company are seemingly never satisfied at what cuts they can make. And to be honest, that will go on continuously unless it's checked by the trade union movement, and that's the space that we're in now.
Okay, Susan, just one final point. Sorry, our line isn't great just towards the end here, but one final point. Will some of the workers, some of that 490 staff, will they be in a position where they're getting a generous redundancy and they feel that they've reached the end of the line anyway, and some will be welcoming this opportunity to leave?
I'm sure there'll be individuals who have had enough of the uncertainty and may say, I'm sick of this. I'm going to take my chances here. But my experience of this workforce is that it's quite a young workforce. They have young families. So the idea of just popping into another job, I'm standing in Mahara today, Frank, in redundancy consultations with an energy company, Keltbray, whose workers are faced with a similar situation. So there's not going to be jobs for everyone when they face a redundancy situation. Bombardier workers are not just going to walk into another job if they don't have this one. So that's why it's important that we fight for every job, or we certainly put up a fight for every job, because we've seen Michelin, Gallagher, Schlumberger, one announcement after another. How is another 500 or possibly more than 500 workers going to be absorbed into the local economy?
It is a very, very relevant question. Susan, thank you very much indeed. Susan Fitzgerald from the Unite Union. How are you impacted upon by this announcement from yesterday? Do let us know. 02890 333 105. Do you think this is a time now to turn to your union and believe that your union can help you? Or are you despairing? Are you indeed looking to your politicians for assistance and realising that they are like a chocolate teapot? You can let us know what you think. Going to be listening to John Mulgrew now. He is the editor of the Ulster Business magazine. John, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
It is a grey day as far as business is concerned when you think about the fallout from Bombardier. And then we look across the water and we see the rift between leading businesses and our largest political party. Just starting with Bombardier, John, how many blows can the east of the city take and still roll with the punches?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hard time, I suppose, as far as, especially for manufacturing, and obviously, especially in East Belfast. Bombardier is probably, I mean, with these latest job losses, you know, we're probably in and around sort of anywhere between 1,800 and 2,000 jobs across the attrition in the last few years. Howden, and obviously there's been job loss across other smaller businesses as well in the area. So, yeah, I mean, it's impacting one area in particular, which has a strong manufacturing heritage. A company like Bombardier obviously has gone through different sizes and structures over the years, but obviously it's been hit hugely in the last sort of 2.5-3 years since the 1,080 jobs were announced in February 2016.
And do you think the Canadians are listening? I know in the ideal world they'd want to be employing as many people as possible, selling as many of the jets as possible, but are they really listening to voices coming out of Belfast, or are we but a pinhead on the map?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to know what the internal politics of a company of all Bombardier size are. I would say when it comes down to it, it's probably not as emotive as we see it. I would say more or less numbers on a page for them. I don't know. I would say looking at cuts across the company, they're a Canadian company. Montreal is their base, and I suppose they want to spread the cuts that they see, the cutbacks that they see, they believe are necessary across the company and across the various elements where they feel they can make savings. So, I'm sure it's a consideration, but I don't know if it's not quite the same way we see it, I suppose, here.
As a business editor, as someone writing for a business readership, John, do you get a sense that those who are involved in business here, those who are subscribing to your magazine, feel politicians could do more? Or are politicians, to some extent, incapable of causing any ripples in a situation like this?
I think, even from the very perspective of, you know, having a devolved government up and running, there can be at least some form of discussion and accountability and debate. What businesses, you know, tell me on a daily basis is just, you know, the fact that we have no one there to discuss or debate these things or represent. I mean, we have MPs who are able to do that for us, but I think it's very weak politically because we don't have anyone there at Stormont to do this. There's no. And this is the sort of thing that would, I would imagine, would be raised in the Assembly today as a matter of urgency if we had the Assembly up and running. Whether they can mitigate job losses, I mean, there's been huge job losses, obviously, in the East Antrim with the various manufacturing losses there as well. I certainly do think that there's probably an element where discussion and debate can improve or help mitigate or slow down this kind of thing. But I mean, I do think companies of this size and scale do tend to just make decisions regardless, I suppose, of the political sentiment or the sentiment over the obviously huge loss to the community whenever these jobs go.
And finally, John, at a more local level, we do look across the water and we see our main political party, our largest political party with the largest representation at Westminster, at loggerheads with the business community. The business community lobbying against the DUP today in London. It stinks of crisis, doesn't it?
I think reasonably, from a business perspective, it feels, in my time, unprecedented. You know, we're talking about some of the figures from the various business groups coming out with, you know, I think Hospitality Ulster, 74% of members. I know by other business groups is up over 90% of the members that they've polled are in support of the deal that's on the table, and the majority of the others are just not in support of any form of Brexit, therefore they're not in support of the idea of it in the first place. It's obviously the arguments are being made by the DUP, but businesses really are very, very firm in this one, by and large. I mean, aside from maybe one or two firms that I've spoken to over the last 3 years, all of them that I've spoken to are in favour of this sort of situation where we basically get, for at least for the transition, we get an agreement where most of the elements that businesses were concerned about, cross-border trade and the issue of the customs union and the single market, we will have something in place that basically, for the business perspective, avoids any sort of hard Brexit, as it were. So it's a strange one. Businesses tend to sort of go softly when it comes to going up against politics because they have to work with political parties. But I do think this is it's an overwhelming message from business overall that this is what we need to back and this is what we have to do.
Okay, John, thank you very much indeed. John Mulgrew, who is the editor of the Ulster Business Magazine. I want to speak to the MP for East Belfast, Gavin Robinson. Gavin Robinson, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
There's a suggestion with a few texts that the eye is being taken off the ball by the likes of yourself and the DUP by falling out with the business community. And now we're reminded of a crisis in your constituency where one of the main businesses is slowly pulling out.
Well, I don't see the read across between the two, but dealing with the businesses that are meeting with the Prime Minister today and considering the position that they have, I think it's very clear that businesses have been concerned by the process of Brexit. That is understood. And they fear the consequences of a no deal. I share those concerns, Frank. But what I don't believe is that the deal currently on offer is in their best interests. And I think if you listen very clearly to what we're saying, there is an opportunity. With the majority in Parliament believing this to be the case, that a better deal should be on offer for businesses in Northern Ireland and right across the United Kingdom.
Do you, however, get a sense that people looking in from afar see political figures, major political figures in Northern Ireland, at loggerheads with major business figures in Northern Ireland? And Bombardier may be looking in. I'm sure they are looking in. And they see us as a place that wouldn't instill confidence in either the business or indeed in the worker.
No, I think you're doing an injustice to link the two stories. What was announced yesterday in Bombardier is so disheartening for staff that have been through turmoil over the last 2 and 3 years. None of that has anything to do with Brexit. That has a lot to do with the consolidation of Bombardier's global operations in trying to bring the C-Series through to fruition in the face of incredible pressures from the main competitors in that market, and Boeing in particular. And we know the pressures that have been brought to bear and the damaging consequences that has had on the business for Bombardier. But to try and suggest that that is in some way connected with the current issues around Brexit is wholly untrue. It has nothing to do with the considerations today. And be under no illusion, I've heard that businesses are going to London today because they support this deal. I was talking to businesses last night who are going to meet with the Prime Minister so that they can explore some of the ramifications of the withdrawal agreement as it currently stands. Because when businesses consider that their supply chains will be hampered by a border down the Irish Sea, where they won't have the same certainty of supply that they have enjoyed up until now, when in the fear of getting a hard border in the island of Ireland, they are now going to be faced with a harder border, one that impinges on 73% of our export market, and one that is going to frustrate their ability to get their supply chain to their workers when they need it, then those are legitimate concerns that they can raise, and those are legitimate concerns that we have. But more than that, we have to consider what businesses say. We want to see a reasonable solution to this current impasse. But more than that, we have political and constitutional considerations as well. That's why we're politicians and businessmen are businessmen.
But which is most important to you, to be blunt about it, the flag or the money in the pockets of the Northern Irish public?
It's a completely disingenuous question because they are all important considerations. And what we, and it's not just us, by the way, it's not just Democratic Unionists from Northern Ireland. It is Unionists right across the United Kingdom. You've seen Cabinet Ministers resign on the principle of the integrity of the Union. They have given up their job, they have given up their salary because they believe in the principle of this. You have the Scottish National Party, Plaid Cymru, the Liberal Democrats and Labour all saying that this is a bad deal for the United Kingdom on business grounds and on constitutional grounds. And so we are not isolated in that sense. We recognise that what business want to avoid at this stage is a no deal. I want to avoid a no deal as well, but I want to make sure that when we leave on the best terms for business and for the people in this country.
Could you explain to me how between now and Sunday you can come up with something that is better than this deal and avoids no deal?
I'm not sure it can be done by this Sunday, and that's just me being frank. I'm not sure it can be done by a Sunday. There's going to be parliamentary consideration, as you know, in the coming weeks, probably in the next 3 weeks. And I imagine that it may take Parliament saying no to the current deal on offer to recalibrate and get a better deal. That shouldn't instill fear, by the way, because Leo Varadkar said, even on Tuesday, that if this deal is rejected by the House of Commons, there will not be a hard border on the island of Ireland. The European Commission yesterday talking now positively about the technological solutions that they should have been focused on for the last year, year and a half. There are ways through this, Frank, but ways through it that not only recognise the constitutional integrity of the United Kingdom, but give an economic boom for people in business. There was always the prospect of Northern Ireland reaching a place where we got the best of both worlds. Sadly, this deal doesn't deliver it, but it's still a potential resolution.
You're hoping that these business people who are meeting the Prime Minister today are more on your page than we think they are. That's what you've just basically said
no,
to us. Whereas, you don't believe they're going in to completely row with the Prime Minister.
No, there are some that are going in because they are full square behind the Prime Minister and they fully believe in the deal that is on offer. But they believe in that deal because they think the alternative is no deal and all the negative consequences that that would bring, the instability that would bring, the lack of certainty that would bring. That's why they are full square behind this deal. But I don't think that is the alternative. I don't think the alternative is a no deal. And I'm encouraged that right across the House of Commons, right across representatives throughout this United Kingdom, they believe there's a better deal on offer. And that will be in the best interests of people in Northern Ireland and the best interests of people in the United Kingdom and those in the European Union.
And was Sammy Wilson wrong to call these business people puppets of the Prime Minister?
Sammy is Sammy, as you know, and Sammy is always energetic in his enthusiasm for the point that he has. But look, it's as simple as this.
Yes, but would you have called them puppets?
There's a lot of politics going on at the minute. I understand the sincerity of businesses who do not want to see a no deal. I don't want to see a no deal, but I don't think that's the choice on offer.
Yes, but your Brexit spokesperson called them puppets.
Yes, and as I said, Sammy is always very energetic and enthusiastic in the positions that he adopts. But I'm telling you that I understand the sincerity of some businesses who want to avoid a no-deal situation, and that's exactly the same place that I am in.
But are you critical of Sammy, or can Sammy say what he likes?
No, I'm not critical of Sammy. I'm on this interview this morning primarily to talk about constituents that I have in East Belfast who are affected by the announcement yesterday in Bombardier, and sadly we're not focusing on that issue. But we will be raising it in Parliament this morning. I think it's important that the workforce in Bombardier know that they have political support, they have the support of their unions, that we want to see a place where Bombardier is on a sure-footed position, in a profitable position and a sustainable position. The drastic news that we had yesterday is incredibly sorrowful for the workforce who have been through so much turmoil over the last number of years. And so my focus today, rather than going down a rabbit hole of your questions, thank you for respect, is to stand up for workers in East Belfast.
And you don't feel you're spreading yourself too thinly by being so tied up in London that you're forgetting what's happening here at home?
I think you know, Frank, that there's enough of me to spread about.
I never comment on a on a physique. Gavin, thanks for coming on. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank good you. Man. Thank thanks.
You. Bye-bye. Gavin Robinson, the MP for East Belfast.